This is Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report, Global Edition, with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
I'm very pleased to have with us Francisco Ramirez, who is the head of the Mine Workers Union of Colombia. And as we begin this interview, I have been totally impressed by the political acumen and the perseverance on behalf of people seeking social justice and the enormous courage of my brothers that I have met thus far from the Colombian labor movement. I'd like to begin by asking Francisco if he could give us a little bit of his own background, how he became involved in the Mine Workers Union.
Bueno, primero muchas gracias por invitarme al programa.
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me to the program.
Segundo, yo me inicié como sindicalista hace unos 14 años. Me inicié como sindicalista porque creo que...
Second of all, I began as a unionist 14 years ago. I became a unionist because I believe that the role of the social organizations in Colombia is very, very important. We believe that we have a very important role because we are part of the conflict in Colombia and we are also victims of the conflict in Colombia.
In 1989, para ser más exactos, fue la creación del primer sindicato en el que yo actué. La respuesta del gobierno colombiano de esa época fue echarnos...
In 1998 or 1999, to be more specific, was the creation of the first union I was involved in. And the government response to the creation of this union was to basically fire all the workers who were involved in the creation of the union. After this, he began working at Mineralco S.A.A., which is the state-owned mining company. 1.5 years afterwards, we started forming a new union at the plant called Sintra Mineralco.
La primer lucha que desarrolló nuestra organización sindical fue en contra de la corrupción de los directivos y del gobierno de la empresa.
And the first struggle that the new union took on was against the corruption of the government officials who were running the mining company. And this provoked the first death threats and the first round of intimidation against us. After this, we developed a program to give direct assistance to the small miners in our country. That's to say that we help the small miners in legal matters, environmental matters, and also technical matters so they could improve their production.
Posteriormente, hemos comenzado a desarrollar una investigación sobre los impactos de la gran minería en los derechos humanos de pobladores y trabajadores mineros. Y por supuesto, eso ha generado más amenazas de muerte.
After this, we began a study of the impacts that the big mining companies had on human rights in the region. And of course, this, the beginning of the study, increased the number of death threats, kidnappings, attempted murders, and displacements that people who had to leave the country to survive when they began this study. After this, we initiated debates within the Colombian Congress, and we started a series of forums all around the country to discuss the problems of the mining sector in Colombia. And this is the kind of work that we do as a union. It's not just a union for our own workers, it's a union for all the people.
You mentioned death threats, but I understand there's been a number of actual assassinations. If you could talk about that.
En el caso del movimiento sindical colombiano, lo que desde muchos años atrás, pero fundamentalmente desde 1986, viene ocurriendo es un genocidio contra las organizaciones sindicales. Desde 1986, cuando se creó
in the Colombian labor movement, since many years ago, but specifically since 1986, there's basically been a genocide against Colombian unionists. Since 1986, when the CUT, the Union Federation, which is equivalent to the AFL-CIO here, was created, there's been more than 3,800 murders of union leaders and members. And since for the last 5 years, one union leader has been assassinated every 2 days. And 25% of the human rights violations that occur against unionists in Colombia occur in the mining sector or in the mining communities.
Now, I know that there were three specific assassinations very recently of officials of the mine workers union. What does Francisco tell us about how that happened, what the significance of those deaths are?
Notar que los asesinatos al sindicato.
Actually, recently the number of union leaders who've been murdered in the union Sintra Min Energetica, which is one of the mining unions, it's not three but actually six leaders. And that's to say that the cases of these murders are not individual cases practiced by an individual company. This is actually part of a permanent practice, permanent policy that's used by every single multinational in Colombia against the unionists.
When you say it's used against every group of workers by multinationals, now you are specifically saying that, and I know in this case you're involved with a Drummond Coal. You're suggesting that Drummond Coal has a direct relationship with the paramilitaries? And if so, if you could explain more.
La acusación contra la Drummond en concreto es eso, conspiración con grupos paramilitares para asesinar a dirigentes sindicales.
Well, the actual charge that we've brought against Drummond in the lawsuit is for conspiracy to work with paramilitary groups against union leaders. And the Department of Human Rights in the CUT did an investigation also of these murders, and they also were able to show that there was collaboration.
Actually, before we even get into Drummond, why don't we just go back for a moment and discuss the actual assassinations, what happened. You had the president, you had the vice president, people who were directly taken off buses by paramilitaries and associated. Explain how that happened and why these assassinations have occurred.
Sí, lo que previamente quiero explicar, desde 1982, cuando se anuncia el desarrollo de una mina en el La Loma Cesar.
Before he says that, he'd like to start off by saying in 1982, when the development began, the initial development began by Drummond to construct this mine in La Loma in the Department of Cesar, military exercises began by military personnel that were actually trained in the United States. This produced the forced displacement of over 100,000 people from the region. And once this zone was secured by the paramilitary forces, then the mining company came in and began the actual mining.
Y cuando se organiza el sindicato e inicia sus primeras protestas, comienzan los paramilitares a amenazarlos. Y los primeros asesinatos se
and as soon as the union was organized in La Loma, the threats against the unions by the paramilitaries began. And this first protest was about the fact that the workers had to pass a lie detector test before getting hired, which is actually something prohibited under international labor law. And the questions that the company would ask them when they were taking these lie detector tests were, are you of the left? Have you ever been on strike? And would you want to join a union? And for this protest and for the presentation of their first set of contract demands, there were three assassinations.
Posteriormente, los trabajadores protestan porque les están sirviendo comida descompuesta. Entonces, los trabajadores saben que les llegan las primeras
amenazas. And the next protest they did was because the mine was serving the workers basically decomposed food. They would bring the food in from very far away, and when it came to the cafeteria, it was already rotten. And for this, they received another set of death threats, both in the mines and when they were in the village, when they were staying in the village. And the paramilitaries, when they were giving the unionists these death threats, were actually accusing them, would not want to admit that these protests were actually just about food, the quality of their food.
Los trabajadores que han salido en turnos anteriores les avisan a los dos compañeros dirigentes que los paramilitares
so
están
some compañeros advised the two leaders of the union that the paramilitaries would be out to get them if they actually left the mine. So these two union leaders asked the administrators of the mine if they could stay at the mine for the evening, and the administrators said no, and they were forced to leave the mine. So when several buses left at the same time, but the only one that was detained by the paramilitaries was the one that contained the two union leaders on it. They were pulled off of the bus in front of all their coworkers. They were later tortured and then murdered afterwards. And then the person who became the president next after the two leaders were killed, he also received a death threat. And when he was on a bus heading from the city of Valledupar, his bus was also stopped by paramilitaries. He was pulled off the bus. He was tortured and then later murdered.
Lo que yo quiero decir aquí es una cosa que permanentemente el gobierno le va a decir a la opinión pública. Ellos dicen que a nosotros nos asesinan por guerrilleros. Y yo les quiero decir que el gobierno de los Estados Unidos facilita inteligencia electrónica para que nos intervengan nuestros
what he wants to say here is that what the government says about these murders is that the union leaders are being killed because they are guerrillas. And he also believes that the government of the United States is facilitating these assassinations by intercepting calls on their cellular telephones, on their home telephones, and also videotaping them 24 hours. And so if they really were guerrillas, then the government would have lots of information to show that they were guerrillas because they're taping them, and so they would be able to use this information to send them to jail. And the reason they are doing this, the government is doing this, to delegitimize them, to basically prove to the Colombian people or try to show the Colombian people that they are guerrillas and they're not who they really are, people who are fighting against corruption, who are fighting against the poverty and the misery that there is today in Colombia. And up to now, there's been six assassinations of the leaders of the Drummond Workers Union. There's been seven assassinations of leaders of the Coca-Cola Workers Union, and there's also been more than 100 leaders assassinated who are leaders of the Oil Workers Union.
Has the repression increased in the last year since the new president of Colombia took control and also since 9-1-1?
Por supuesto que sí.
Of course, these have increased. In the 3 years that Álvaro Uribe was governor of Antioquia, the murder rate in Antioquia went up by 450%. And what they saw was that they believe that he was doing this to facilitate the entrance of the company Chiquita Bananas into the province of Urabá in Antioquia when Álvaro Uribe was the governor of Antioquia. And now they think he's going to be doing this for all regions of the country. And in the case of the unionists, especially because they have been fighting against privatization, against neoliberalism, against the policies of the International Monetary Fund, there's already been 15 union leaders murdered since the inauguration of Álvaro Uribe. And this trend is the same. There's a similar trend that's going on against indigenous people, Afro-Colombianos or Colombians of African descent, or basically any people who's living in a region right now where mining companies and other multinational companies want to come in and exploit.
It would seem that the trade unionists are caught between the guerrilla forces, one of which is the FARC, the paramilitaries and the paramilitary relationship to the army. Maybe Francisco can help us understand more about the civil war that is raging in Colombia. What is its base, its root?
Mire, nuestro país es uno de los países.
He believes this is because Colombia is one of the richest countries on the continent. It has a lot of minerals, it has a lot of oil, it has a lot of gas, it has a lot of biological richness. And since the last century, when imperialists from the United States and also the upper classes of Colombia have basically used this richness for their own benefit, there's been a lot of poverty and misery. And right now, there's more than 64% of the population which lives in poverty right now in Colombia. And so all these natural resources are only contributing to the misery, the exploitation, the poverty, and the death of our people, because these ruling classes are taking control of these resources, they're robbing the resources, and they're using it to only increase the misery of the people. And this, of course, produces enormous problems, obviously, with misery, social exclusion, marginalization of the majority of the population, lack of health care, and education.
Y eso ha mantenido y ha alimentado la lucha que hay en nuestro país y el surgimiento de organizaciones guerrilleras. Entonces, lo que ha pasado es que no es que nosotros estemos en medio de esa guerra.
And this is maintained against the fight of the insurgent classes or the fight of the guerrilla. It's not so much that we're in the middle of this conflict, we're actually part of this social conflict. We want to construct a new society, a more just society, a society where people can have their most basic rights, the right to health, the right to life. And of course, this has provoked the ruling classes of Colombia to fight against not just the unionists, but for against any person who's opposing their policies and who's opposing the misery that's going on right now in Colombia. And for this, the government of Colombia is responding by assassinating us. And for this, 96% of the unionists who are murdered are killed by the Colombian state and its paramilitaries. Also, 1.8% of these murders are committed by the drug mafias who accuse the unionists of being complicit in the screwing up of their plans, more or less. 1% of the murders that have been committed against unionists have been committed by the guerrilla, and specifically by the FARC, who had basically assassinated a large group of unionists in a factory in Urabá. And for this, we have condemned this assassination by the FARC, and we continue to condemn this assassination. And the FARC has also assassinated several secondary teachers, and for this, the Department of Human Rights at the CUT has also condemned very strongly.
Is the Drummond Corporation, which I believe is based in Alabama, are they unique in the way that they cooperate with the paramilitaries or other mining corporations of a similar nature? What is the role of Drummond?
Para nosotros, la mayoría de las multinacionales tienen esa colaboración.
It's not just Drummond, this is how the majority of the multinational corporations in Colombia, quote-unquote, guarantee their investments in Colombia is by working directly with paramilitaries. For example, in the 64% of human rights abuses that have been committed in the mining communities, they have all been in places where multinational corporations have been operating or where they plan to develop a project.
It would be helpful if we could talk specifically about Drummond, since I also know there is a lawsuit that has been commenced against the Drummond Company.
Lo que nosotros reiteramos es que las acusaciones contra Drummond son acusaciones por conspiración. En marzo de este año hemos presentado el proceso en Alabama y la empresa contestó diciendo que en Colombia había justicia cuando el 99% de estos casos de asesinatos.
So he just wants to reiterate that the accusation that they're filing against Drummond is one of conspiracy of collaborating with the paramilitaries. It was March of this past spring, March 2002, that this case was filed. And they basically did this because 99% of these cases of murders and human rights violations completely go in total impunity when they try to file lawsuits in Colombia itself. And there are several death threats and murder attempts against his life that occurred, and the same thing against the murder attempts that have occurred against his compañeros. And so they had to show to the court that there really is no justice in Colombia and that this was the only way to stop these cases from remaining in impunity. And recently, Drummond has fired 45 of its workers at the La Loma plant. And so they're asking that people in the U.S., workers and members of non-governmental groups, put pressure on Drummond so that they don't fire any more union leaders at La Loma.
One of the things we didn't talk about is what are the conditions of the mine workers actually like that are employed by Drummond?
Bueno, lo primero que les quiero decir es que cuando una empresa de Estados Unidos cierra su mina, como es el caso de la Drummond, que la cerró acá y la abrió en Colombia, ellos pagan una décima parte a los trabajadores colombianos. Tras aquí pagan 10, allá pagan 1.
Basically, when companies close their businesses here, and this is the case of Drummond, they close their mine here in Alabama and open in Colombia, the first thing to say is that they pay their workers one-tenth of what they pay their American workers. That's to say, if they were paying American workers $10, they pay people in Colombia $1. Basically, there's no such thing as industrial security or occupational safety for the Colombian workers. And on top of that, the Colombian workers have to work under the pressures of the military that are both inside the mine and also situated in a base directly, in a military base directly outside of the mine, and they also have to work under the pressure given to them by the paramilitaries.
What kind of support are you or the Colombian unions getting from the FL-CIO in the United States and other international unions?
Bueno, en el caso de Estados Unidos, el steel worker, el mine worker y la Fundación para los Derechos Laborales han sido nuestro apoyo para estas dos primeras demandas. Además, la AFL-CIO ha generado un programa.
The steel workers and the mine workers, and also an NGO called the International Labor Rights Fund, which is basically help them bring these two cases, these first two initial cases, to the U.S. courts. Also, the AFL-CIO has begun a program where they've brought 30 Colombian unionists to the United States for a temporary refuge, temporary protection plan. This program has just begun only recently, and there are going to be more Colombian unionists who are going to come to join the program. They've also received support from the CAW, the Canadian Auto Workers, the CLC, the Canadian Labor Council, unions in England, and also unions in Europe.
Francisco, what can we do specifically to support the demands, protect the lives of our brothers in the mine workers union?
Lo primero que les pedimos a ustedes es que, por favor, le exijan al gobierno de los Estados Unidos que cese el Plan Colombia y que cese cualquier ayuda militar, porque el Plan Colombia y la ayuda militar es el amparo para
First
que
of all, he's asking that people in the U.S. demand of their
lo
government, to demand them to stop Plan Colombia and to stop sending any military aid, because it's under the cover of this aid that the Colombian government is assassinating them. And second, he'd like people here to demand of both the government and of U.S.-based multinationals that they put conditions on any investment in Colombia for human rights conditions on any investment or any purchase of raw materials such as oil, gas, or coal. And the third is asking if the multinationals refuse to respond to their demands, ask that people here start campaigns against these multinationals, start boycotts and protests in support of the union workers and also the population of Colombia in general.
Are there any numbers that you would like us to call?
Básicamente en la web de la Fundación Ahí está la información.
Basically, on the webpage of the International Labor Rights Fund has a lot of information about the case and things people can do to support the case. And I believe the website is www.laborrights.org. Also on the web is a petition you can sign to protest against Coca-Cola and what they're doing in Colombia. And actually, that website is www.cokewatch.org.
So what we have to make sure we do is tell our government officials to stop Plan Colombia, and we have to go to www.laborrights.org and find out exactly how we can put pressure on companies like Drummond and Coca-Cola to stop the abuses, the murder, the assassinations, the human rights violations of our brothers and our sister trade unionists and all people in Colombia. Francisco Ramirez, muchos gusto, buena suerte en todo. Thanks very much for being with us and for your courage and your convictions.
Muchas gracias a ustedes y esperamos la solidaridad de los trabajadores norteamericanos.
Thank you very much for inviting me here and also for the solidarity of American workers.
And I'd like to thank our translator, who is?
Jana Silverman, organizer for the Committee for Social Justice in Colombia, and I'm also a union worker at Columbia University, UAW Local 2110.
Francisco Ramirez experienced another attempt on his life on November 6th, the day after he returned to Colombia following a successful speaking tour in New York, Boston, and Montreal to publicize the Drummond mining case. He is asking us to please write a short note to President Uribe to guarantee his safety. President Uribe can be reached at A. Uribe, that's A-U-R-I-B-E, at Presidencia, that's presidencia.gov.co. That's A. Uribe at presidencia.gov.co. This has been Building Bridges, Your Community and Life Report, Global Edition, with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. You can listen to archived Building Bridges programs on our website, www.buildingbridgesonline.org.